This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. Arming He was one of the 286 Golden Venture passengers whose life must have passed before his eyes as he tread water in the Atlantic the night of June 6, 1993. He was one of the men who was sent to jail for 4 years in Pennsylvania. Today, Arming owns a restaurant in a strip mall in Fort Myers, Florida. He provides employment for a group of friends and relatives. He owns a duplex home, which he shares with many of them, rent-free. He got parole in 1997 and has made much of his life and contributed much. But like the 29 other men we met at the Golden Venture press conference, this is his 13th year as an illegal. Sitting there listening to their stories, you can't help but think about your family's history. How did any of us come by the privilege of being an American citizen? This show's producer, Kathy Golden, is only second-generation U.S.-born, with all four of her grandparents coming to the States in the early 1900s, and she was the very first person in her family to get a college degree. So many of us have stories like that. Irving Berlin, W.C. Fields, Sigmund Freud, Harry Houdini, Walt Disney, and Albert Einstein all came to the United States through our golden door to legions of immigrants, Ellis Island. From 1890 to 1920, 18 million people came here. Immigrants made up nearly 15% of the U.S. population. Today's wave of immigrants, coming mostly from Latin America and Asia, make up about 12% of the population. Beverly Church, a grandmother, a Republican, a nurse, and a paralegal, has been fighting for the Golden Venture passengers since the day she first met them in the York County Jail. She continues to press Congress to take these men out of legal limbo and grant them permanent legal residence. Beverly Church spoke with our producer, Michael Jones, after the press conference.
What do you think the U.S. immigration policy should be towards those seeking political asylum?
I think it's a subject matter that needs to be addressed fully and totally, and maybe with the help of God, once and for all. I think in all my heart, we cannot have a one-size-fits-all policy. I keep saying that. We need to address the border issues. We know that we have a potential terrorist problem, but we also know, with all due respect, that we have the Golden Venture passengers who have spent 13 years trying to prove themselves to this country, that they mean no ill and they will be good additions to this country. So when we look at a new immigration policy, maybe it might be good for Congress to look outside itself, look to some of us who have worked with the Golden Venture people, people who have worked with immigration matters on a lower level for a very long time, and can see the pitfalls that are coming and have come before us. If I have anything to advise them all, is please don't pass something quickly, and another stupid immigration bill is only going to hurt people as it already has hurt many people to this point.
With all the people who are making this decision out of fear or ignorance about immigration, how do you convince them that there's a big difference between the Golden Venture people and the Mexicans who are crossing the border illegally? How do you show them the political implications of one is different than the other?
I think that that's a very interesting question. It's a huge subject. I cannot speak to the Mexican issues coming across. I truly believe as an American that you're not going to have Americans pay $15 for a head of lettuce because they want to put union people out in the fields to pick the lettuce. So we have to deal with the issue that you have immigrants coming here for labor, to get money, and to send back to their families and to survive. You also have to be realistic that that border is very large, and that large border can give itself off to drug smugglers and people we don't want in here whatsoever. But you also must realize that there are people like the Golden Venture people that have come here in that horrible hellhole. If you go back into your history archives of the press, you'll see what that place looked like and what they went through to get here. Would they do it again? They said they're here now after 13 years of working hard. Yes, they love it here. They would be here. But if they had to go through the fear, of that trip again. They don't think they could. That worries me when they say that, because to me it might give onus to those who are saying, aha, let's get tougher. Because if they went through all that on that trip, then maybe we can do that to all of them, and by God, they won't come anymore on those ships. I don't think that's true. And I think people are going to cling to these shores and fall to these shores as long as we are America. And that is what we're about.
If you're just joining us, this is Voices of Our World, and we're talking with paralegal Beverly Church.
My parents and grandparents came from Ireland. I don't know if they had papers with them or not. I have found since then, when I went to Ellis Island, and yes, my grandfather was on Ellis Island, and I found his manifest, and I found the ship's manifest and the picture of it. But my God, he was lucky. I don't know how many other relatives came without anything. And that's what these guys did. You heard Sing Chow today. They don't even have birth certificates. They're born at home. I was born at home, but at least in America, I got a birth certificate. But the thing is, it's a huge question. And when someone says, what would you do about the borders? What would you do about this? I do not condone blanket illegal immigration. We live in dangerous times, and we must be cognizant of that at all times. However, we cannot stop the fact that people are going to come to this country just to be in America.
Do you think the current U.S. policy towards immigration is sending a bad message to the world about what it means to be an American and what it takes to become an American?
Unfortunately, like so many things we have right now, the problem is we don't have a policy. There is a lack of immigration policy. There is a lack of direction. And that is what we need to focus on. Don't pass something fast because you're going to run for re-election again this fall. And it's getting time that they stop running for election as soon as they get there. Focus on the problem at hand.
And one of the biggest lobbies that are complicating the whole immigration issue is the business lobby. And the role of these immigrants, let's say, for example, through the Golden Venture, who are coming here to start businesses and to easily find a way to integrate themselves into society and learn English, they should be put on a pedestal, you would think, and the American government would be first and foremost to show this to the world, saying how great our system is. Why do you think the government, in particular with these Chinese immigrants here, has been so heavy-handed or harsh in their treatment?
I think, with all due respect, our government has always seemed to react to the knee-jerk reaction. We have Americans in this country that support what the Golden Venture people have gone through and probably would support the chance for legal status, but we also have a great many that absolutely despise the fact that they come here and they start their own businesses. They're not moving into Wall Street, taking over anybody's American job. They're not doing any of that. They're creating jobs. They have hired people. They've started their own businesses. So one's a construction worker, works real hard. But the problem is within ourselves. We want to be so full of ourselves that we are Americans, and I feel that very deeply. I love being an American. But I also know that there are some people that come here with absolutely no skills. They can't speak English, and we don't make it easy for them, and yet they survive and they achieve. And that's a lesson, too, with all due respect, of when some people do come here and we change things in different languages so it's easier for them. What lesson is that given? They have to learn the English.
Beverly, thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. God bless you.
The following is a joint statement by the Mary Knoll Fathers and Brothers, Mary Knoll Sisters, and Mary Knoll Lay Missioners, read by Mary Knoll's Media Relations Director, Howard Schwartz.
Every day, in every corner of the planet, women and men walk across national borders to find work, to find shelter, to find safety, to reunite with their families. From Zimbabwe to Thailand, to Guatemala, to the U.S.-Mexico border, Mary Knoll missioners often interact with people on the move. We know their names and have heard their pleas for justice. As Catholic missioners, we are called to emphasize global solidarity. We respect the United States' obligation to keep its citizens safe, but we resist short-sighted, misguided, and pitiless methods that do not provide authentic security, but rather foment fear and distrust. As Mary Knoll missioners, we have observed firsthand the economic push factors in countries that endanger lives, families, and cultures. We understand flight from violence and war. We implore U.S. lawmakers to consider the multi-layered dimensions of the migration issue when contemplating just immigration policies. As Marin Oil Missioners, we deplore the fear of the other that is embedded in these anti-migrant laws. We applaud Los Angeles Roger Cardinal Mahoney for his willingness to defy civil law in favor of a higher law that focuses upon the basic human rights of immigrants. As Marin Oil Missioners, we feel compelled to join the chorus of voices who are calling on Congress to reject any legislation that not only criminalizes undocumented people in this country, but also those who provide them with humanitarian aid. These potential laws violate the U.S. identity as a gathering place for all the world's people. These laws contradict a deeply felt national adage which announces that the U.S. will receive the poor, the tired, the huddled masses.
Where do you stand on the immigration question? What do you want U.S. policy to be, and why? Email us at radio@marionoil.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org. Just click on Contact Us. You can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL.
All that stuff that got lost on his way to school. All that stuff that got lost on his way to the house of my family. All that stuff that was not lost on me. Teach myself to see each of us through the lens of forgiveness, like we're stuck with each other, God forbid.
Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Craig Treblecock and Beverly Church are just two of the voices of our world. And I'm your host, Eileen Bott. This week's show was produced by Kathy Golden, and you heard music today by Annie DeFranco, the Yoshida Brothers, Prem Joshua, and Manish Vyas for Putumayo's Asian Lounge. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our weekly question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or try Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.